Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Tuesday, March 26th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading in Bill's story, page 11, the second paragraph down. It begins with the wars which had been fought through one paragraph ending with, and he certainly had me. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, J&L, the 12 Traditions, Joanne L. The readers of the text are Liz A., Dawn B., and Shelley E. The share ID for Monday, March 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,253. That's 21253. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, March 26th at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,255. That's 21255. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Robin P. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the suggestions we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Joanne. I mean, Jan. I'm sorry.
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. Thank you. Thank you for your service. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Jan L., for your service this month. And now I will ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. And thank you. It was such a pleasure working with you this month. And I want to welcome especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L., and I am working on my recovery one day at a time, the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose. There is but one ultimate authority, a loving God. Let me say that again. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 12, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, in other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and thanks to Leia for the service this month. I pass.
Right, and thank you, Joanne, now for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 11 of Bill's story. It's the second paragraph down, begins with the wars which had been fought, and it ends with, and he certainly had me. And we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Liz A. to get us started. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. My name is Liz A., and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The wars which had been fought, the burnings and chicanery that religious dispute had facilitated made me sick. I honestly doubted whether, on balance, the religions of mankind had done any good. Judging from what I had seen in Europe and since, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man, a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. Good morning again. Boy, can I relate to how Bill felt. You know, being born into the Jewish religion, my people had seen temples destroyed, being killed or forced to convert, the Crusades, the Holocaust and today's not so hidden anti-Semitism as well. And so I really, you know, mankind, the religions just had made me really sick. I know that at the time I rejected God completely because I had prayed and prayed and he had not been there for me. I also come from a family of Holocaust survivors, and I grew up being told that man is a wolf towards other man. It's a Latin saying, basically dog eat dog. You know, the world is out to get me. And there was no brotherhood of man. You just had to survive. So coming in here, I was just so skeptical. And my own religion, I thought, had placed women in a subservient position, and I would have none of that. And so I pretty much just rejected the religion. I still loved and sought spirituality everywhere for myself. I sought it in Buddhism. I sought it in metaphysics. I read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I mean, I did everything, you know, and I still found it wanting. And it wasn't until I truly surrendered and truly that I was able to find my way slowly back to God. And I believe this life is a journey of us finding our way back to God and finding the love and the healing that can come from being of service to God and to my fellows. And it's a true miracle that I have experienced in my life. And looking back, I can see how God has been there every step of the way, like that footstep and carrying me, how blind I had been. So there is hope. There is hope if you feel like Bill felt. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Liz A., for getting us started. So let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 11, second paragraph, the wars which had been fought, and it ended with, and he certainly had me. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Margaret D., Georgia.
Margaret D.
Barbara E., New Jersey.
Barbara, I got you.
Vicky T., Florida.
Vicky T., Florida.
Jeff A.
I'm sorry?
Jeff A.
I got you, Jeff. Okay. Jeff A.
Freya H.
Freya H. Okay, I have Margaret D., Barbara E., Vicky T., Jeff A., Freya H. Anyone else want to get in on this lineup? Okay, we'll go with that group. Everyone, yep. Please mute except Barbara D. Good morning, Barbara.
It's Margaret. Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's
Margaret.
It's fine. You know what? It's fine. Don't give it a second thought. Anyways, good morning, everybody. No, I got to remember what my name is. It's Margaret D. in Georgia. And this whole paragraph to me shows the power of God and God's mercy and God's love. I can absolutely, definitely identify with everything that Bill is saying here about where he thought the brotherhood of man was, you know, just an idea that he couldn't find traces of it, or I also judged, and that's what I'm seeing in this paragraph, is that Bill is, well, when I thought the way that Bill is thinking here, I felt very much that I was the victim, and that depressed. What was the point of all of this? The religion of mankind doesn't do any good. The power of God is negligible, if even in existence at all. And the devil was reigning supreme. When I had a psychic change, when I came to understand God's love and concern and just total caring and protection of me. And believe me, I've gone through, family members dying and, you know, a lot of the same things that people have gone through, having family members murdered or whatever. But what I came to realize was that God, through those things, taught me his compassion and his mercy and his love and his protection, and that my job was to take that compassion that I had received from my higher power and learn to apply it to my fellow human beings. And there is a wonderful saying that hatred never ceases by hatred, but only by love alone is healed. And I had to learn to let go of my judgmentalism. You know, this person is bad and they need to be punished, or this, you know, I had to quit being the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And now the message that I'm seeing over and over again from my higher power is there is so much compassion in the world that, you know, it's about every, I don't know if I'm saying this very clearly, but for me anyways, it's about every person right. individually making their way back to their higher power and seeing God's love in the world and focusing on that instead of the other side. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margaret D. from Georgia. Next up is Barbara E., followed by Vicki T. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Thank you for your wonderful, willing service, and good morning to all of you on the meeting today. Well, listening to the reading and hearing the share, I was thinking of the parable of the two wolves. One wolf is good and lives in harmony with the world and all around her. She does no harm. She takes no offense when none was intended. And she will only fight when it is necessary and in the right way. And the good wolf is filled with kindness, empathy, and compassion. But there's another wolf inside me, okay? This wolf is anger, full of anger, envy, bitterness, regret, false pride, ego, and also combined with a sense of inferiority and greed. There's a battle between these two wolves that live inside me. Which one will survive? The one I feed, of course, but both still battle within me, negative powers and higher powers. So what will I choose? What will I do? She told me, my sponsor told me to stop using the negative powers, the evil wolf, and begin to use the one suggested in the big book. Or I could choose one of my own. The point was that I needed to find to start somewhere. I had to begin by scrapping my old ideas about what God was supposed to do for me and what I was supposed to do for God. And we each had a part to play in this relationship. What arrogance it was for me to think I could determine what God's responsibilities were on my life. When I went to the big book, I found out what my duties were not. God, the book said, but my sole purpose for living is to do God's will in my life and help my fellow man. I wasn't sure what that meant, but I sure needed something. So I understand today my relationship with my higher power and my spirituality, oh, that was funny, are fairly clear to me now. I need to live without harming myself or others as much as possible, and I need to be of maximum service to my fellows. But that does not mean I have to be a doormat. There are people in the world who will treat me without respect, no matter how I treat them. I don't have to change their minds, but neither do I need to treat them as they treat me. I need to accept them as they are, as I would have them be. I'm here to try to understand rather than to be understood, and to love rather than be loved. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful Tuesday. I pass.
Thank you. Perfect timing, Barbara. Thank you. Barbara E. from New Jersey. Up next is Vicki T., followed by Jeff A. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your friendly service. This is Vicki T. in Florida. And this paragraph, what speaks to me is, so the religion I grew up in, I had no idea of God. So I have a dear fellow, we were talking about it, and she had a certain similar situation. And so maybe it's easier for me or harder for me. I don't know. It's not like I had to change my ideas about God. There was no concept of God. I heard the word, but it didn't mean anything because there were so many other gods in my life. My parents, then as I grew up, my body, then as I grew even older, men, then as I grew older, money, you know. These were gods. There was no room for any kind of God. And I didn't understand the concept. So if I don't understand anything, I'm throwing it out. I need to wrap my brain around something. If I can't wrap my brain around it, I don't have time for it. So there was no idea. And I remember my last relapse, I was in the bathroom at work crying to a fellow, and she said something about God, and I was like blubbering and saying, God is in the sky. What are you talking about God with my food? And then I saw that, in the book, it talks about the wars and, you know, people are, this is a bad world. In my opinion, we're in a really bad world. There's just a lot of bad things going on. And I would just look at that. And then my ideas changed and I was able to find a sponsor who not had what I want because she looked good and had a cute boyfriend. Somebody else says that one of our fellows. I love saying that. You know, she had God. She had a relationship with God. God would speak to her. She felt comforted by God, and this is what I wanted. And so I started to have the concept and the development. And then, you know, other fellows have shared that, you know, when there are wars and bad things that happen, that it's free will of humans and egos that make that. It's not God. And that God is crying too. And that was really helpful to me. So today I have a relationship with God. I respect my religion. I feel proud of my religion for what my people went through. But to me, God and religion are completely different. So that is my concept. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vicki T. from Florida. Jeff A., followed by Freya H., and after Freya, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Jeff A., California. Really enjoy the shares so far. In my situation, I have chronic pain, and I've had this way for 20 years. And for a while, I believed, but then I was hurting all the time, and I'm hurting right now. And I got just, it's like I believe, but it hasn't helped me. And so I would go to church, but I wouldn't partake in anything. But then I had several things where I decided to do it my way rather than God's way or anybody else's way. And it turned out to work out terrible. And I thought, okay, I'm really confused, but this didn't work. The things that happened, and especially in my work life, I just figured I'd do it my way. And well, things were fine for a little while, and then it was terrible. And so I kind of ended up getting back to where I'm at now, I'm in pain now. I'm pain right now. But God, my higher power, has been very generous and kind to me. And I know he loves me. And I can't understand it. But he does love me. And each day I do sober eating. So I do one meal at a time. I can't do the entire day because it's the stormy emotions that kill me. I'm now in a place where I have food neutrality, and it's wonderful. But I still got to do it one meal at a time, and because I have strong emotions and I don't know what to do with them. So I do the praying and the reading, and I call people and I text people and I write things down and so forth, what the program tells us to do. And so it's kind of where I'm at right now. I wish that I didn't have the chronic pain. I've gone to so many doctors. I'm doing another set of doctors. Not just doctors, but nutritionists and physical therapists and all this stuff. I'm doing what I can, but sometimes I just get so discouraged, I just give up. But I still have God. See, this is the nice thing, what I'm saying. Yeah, basically, I'm glad that I have my God under cares for me, and I didn't realize this, but now I feel it, and I love it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff A. And before I take Freya H., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story on page 11, second paragraph down, the wars which had been fought, and it ends with, and he certainly had me. After Freya, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning. Thank you. Freya H., recovered food addict and restrictor, and I live in Colorado, and I'm in a spotty service area, so let me know if you can't hear me. This paragraph is very, very relevant today, I think, and I'm so glad that Bill took the time to, you know, really kind of go into depth about all of his, you know, step two related doubts and how he came to believe, because I think it's so important for a lot of us because we can relate. And this is so relevant because if I look at the world and I read the headlines and the barrage of news and information that is available to me in today's world, it does not look good. Things look pretty grim. The things that tend to make the headlines are the things that are the negative stuff. You know, it's designed to induce fear and to induce adrenaline. And so if I were to look at the world based on that perspective, man, I think Bill's got a pretty compelling argument. And he saw war. So he has a pretty compelling argument. It sure seems like, yeah, I think you're right, Bill. You know, like it does seem like the devil is in charge. And then he looks at his own life and he's like, yeah, see, it's my life isn't growing so well, but this must be true. And I can do that. I can judge this outer experience, you know, just using my senses. And I can reason myself into being convinced that there is no God and that this world is going to hell. You know, I can get convinced of that doom and gloom thinking. However, when I you know, went through the steps especially, and I was invited to look at everything from an entirely different angle, I was able to see a new perspective. And that was incredibly eye-opening to see that, okay, so maybe there's actually more to the story than what's in the headlines, or more to the story in, you know, the self-pity, the poor me, I'm not getting what I want, you know, all that self-centered perspective. And so that's the magic of these steps, is that I can go from being absolutely convinced, totally makes sense to me, that there's no good and there's no God, to a place where, whoa, maybe there is a God. And then when I look for evidence of God in my life, seeing it and being like, whoa, this God operates in a way that I never, ever would have expected. And that's, I think that's the key, is that God is really beyond my conception. But when I'm just open to this possibility that maybe there is a God, and Bill gets to that in the next paragraph. So I'm really glad that that's coming tomorrow, that this paragraph, like, despite, you know, my conviction and my experience that, yeah, the devil's in charge, there's something, like, Evie is bringing a different, you know, a different perspective. Evie is bringing up this different possibility that, oh, but maybe there is this miracle under the surface. And in order to do that, in order to see that, I just need a new set of eyes, a new pair of glasses. And that's what the steps give me. And I will pass. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Freya H. from Colorado. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Second paragraph down on page 11 in Bill's story.
Rohan F.
Michelle F.
Okay, well, who was before Michelle?
Rohan S.
Oh, I got you, Rohan. Okay.
Diane B.
Okay,
Bob,
so
H.
Then I had Michelle. Hey, Michelle. Okay, and then Diane. Okay, who was after Diane?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. And then there's somebody else after Deborah.
Rob H.
Janet H.
Rob H. And who was that after Rob?
Janet H.
Janet H. All right, let's stop there. I don't know if I'll have enough time for everybody, but we'll see. I have Rohan. Didn't get all last initials because I was writing fast. Michelle, Diane, Deborah G., Rob H., and Janet H. Everybody mute except Rohan. Good morning, Rohan.
Good morning. My name is Rohan S. I am from New Jersey, and I'm a grateful and recovered compulsive overeater. Really love the shares today. And honestly, it's so helpful to be on these meetings and talk about recovery and God. And this one really made me think, like, about my past with how I grew up with God. And I grew up in the Hindu religion, with Hinduism. And what I was reminded of is there's this God and goddess, Krishna and Radha. And it's this beautiful, and Hinduism is all about idols, and it's this beautiful idol of a man and woman who are dressed beautifully, and they are together, and they are celebrated and adored. And I was like, I was always like, wow, they're so amazing together. And then one day, I got curious and asked my mom, like, oh, Radha Krishna, they're of course husband and wife, right? Oh no, they're just really good friends. Krishna has another wife. And I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. It looks like they have a very romantic relationship. And you're telling me a God is basically what looks like cheating on his wife? And I immediately dismissed it. And all the respect I had for my quote-unquote God, I just threw in the garbage can. And it's absolutely just, you know, in a room full of roses, I'm the one who's going to look for the thorns. And that's what I was doing. I was looking for the thorns. I was always seeking, you know, where is the religion being a hypocrite? You know, and that's how my mind operated always. You know, I always had this, like, deep down feeling that there might be a God, but my entire being wanted to fight against it. And, you know, same way in my life. Like, I wanted to believe there was a God, but whenever I would fail in school or a relationship would go bad, I would just, you know, look at the thorns again. And what really had to happen for me is, like, you know, I had to come into OA and recognize that, oh my gosh, I'm hopeless. The thinking that points out the hypocrisy and points out the thorns, it hasn't been serving me ever, especially with the food, which the insanity of the food is like one of the most burdensome things that has ever happened to me in my life. And I've dealt with it pretty much all my life. And so, yeah, and we're going to see, like, in the next paragraph, as it was mentioned before, that, like, Bill's going to start noticing the upsides of this God thing. And I'm so glad that coming to meetings like this and sharing and hearing from other recovered folk about how the grace of God can really work in her life, it's really changed my life and made it so, so, so much better. Thank you.
Is that it, Rowan? Okay.
Yep, thank
you. Thank you very much. Yep, thank you for your share. Up next is Michelle, followed by Diane B. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mo. It's Michelle F. as in Foxtrot from Massachusetts. And wonderful shares, everybody. I'm getting a lot out of them. This is the way my father thought. This is what he passed on to me. And that last sentence, if there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. Wow, is that a whole bunch of self-pity. What a lovely excuse to numb out and behave badly and grab for whatever we want and be selfish. Look, it's crap. You know, if there is God, a religion hasn't done anything for me, so that gives me perfect justification to behave like a butt. And, I kind of took that away when I left. My mom was all, oh, there is a God, but you're not good enough for God. And my dad was like, yeah, I don't think there's a God. If there is, you know, religion is bad and men are bad and the world's an awful, horrible place. So it just set me up for my belief system, which is, oh, well, if there is a God, it's not for me. So I'm just going to do what I do. And I have a choice. I can look at this not so much as a religious conversion or anything, as a spiritual conversion in that, you know what, okay, let's be the devil's advocate. There's no God, and this is all we have, no afterlife, whatever. Then why not make the most of it and be a good person? Why not strive to be our very best? Why not try and reach out to other people? How about we try and be the exception, you know? I have a choice in how I view the world, and I view it better without all of that sugar and fat and salt and all those addictive things in my bloodstream. When my mind is cleared, I see how foolish it is to be wrapped up in self-pity. It gets easier to look for the good in things. My whole attitude and outlook on life lifts because I'm not poisoning myself. And I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. That's Michelle F. from Maine or Massachusetts. I get the two mixed up. Sorry about that. Diane B., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service this month. Thank you to everybody else who's on the line, especially the newcomers. I'm Diane B. I'm gratefully recovered here in New York. So I also grew up in a home where we had cultural religion and we did the holidays, but there was no discussion of God. And I found out when I was older that my parents did not believe in God. I'm also first generation American and the child of a Holocaust survivor, which is its own ball of wax. But I did have to come to believe, and I had to start learning in these rooms. I had to start learning that, yes, there really was a higher power. There was a God. That could be in my life. I just have to seek it out. And I look for evidence of this higher power for me. And I look for it in people. I look for it in nature. And I have to say that yesterday morning, my dog passed away while I was sitting with her and petting her. and talking with her and easing her. And she woke me up in the morning, like 2:30 in the morning from, you know, crying out from pain. And I went and I found her in the house, and I went and sat with her and just talked with her and calmed her down. And then it didn't seem so painful anymore. But the whole time I'm praying and just asking for God's love and for God to be merciful and to please help me with being of service to my pet. And she did die right in front of me while I was with her. And I have to tell you, it was such an amazing spiritual experience, which I never anticipated. I just had this calm come over me because I knew that she wasn't doing well. And I knew that I thought I was going to have to take her to the vet to be euthanized. And she did it for me. Like, I didn't have to make that decision. You know, and then the outpouring of love and connection with the people in my life has been amazing. It's very hard for me to adjust to this, but that's okay because I have that higher power in my life. And like I said, there was the sense of calm. There was a sense of meaning in this whole experience. And I would have never had that prior to being in these rooms and prior to taking on the belief and then actively seeking to improve my conscious contact with this higher power, whatever this thing is. I don't have a vision of it. I call it an it because I don't think it has, I think it transcends the human body embodiment. So yeah, you know, it's remarkable. And I think back to when I came into the rooms in the 80s, I really didn't believe in God. And I just thought that was all like nonsense. And for people who were weak-willed, it's like I'm 180 degrees from that place, and I'm very grateful. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Diane B., and sorry for your loss. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Rob H. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service this morning and everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here with us. Excuse me. And thank you all for your beautiful shares. Wow, that's what it is for me, hearing all of you and your experiences. And growing up, I didn't have a good experience. And I was, you know, full of the food and full of self-centered fear, resentment, dishonesty, all that stuff. And I was not connected. I was not experiencing anything. Everything was in my head, you know, what I was learning, and people were telling me all these things, and it just didn't, you know, fit with everything that was going on within me and then what I was hearing. And I'm so grateful today that I found these rooms, 12-step program rooms, and my journey through a new experience with all that, you know, a new learning, hearing all of you and your experience help me to have a concept and a realization of what that was all about, you know, the love and the kindness and the compassion and the care, all those qualities that my divine loving presence has for me, and I can have that for other people. Take that, let that power work through me to bring that to other people. What a beautiful transformation. That would have never happened unless I came here and got the help that I needed and surrendered to getting the help that I needed and now having this experience. And it continues to evolve. That's the cool thing. And I love having a relationship and talking, having dialogue, you know, with this. And it's just, wow, I can't even put it into words. And I'm so grateful that I have it and I hear it all in you also. Thank you.
And thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Up next is Rob H., followed by Janet H. Good morning, Rob.
Hello, good morning. Rob H., compulsive reader, recovered from New York. I just want to get online and share. I don't think I shared last week, but I don't know that I have too much to say. I appreciate all the shares that have come before me. I heard the meeting a little bit yesterday, and I think of this whole the God thing, and what comes to me right now is like when I've heard people say good orderly direction. Bit on that too, and before the program, I sort of basically did whatever I want, especially with food, and that got me to where it got me, and I had to find the meetings somehow. I don't even know how I found the meetings. I just found them, and then at one point I had to ask the people in the meeting, like, you guys really do this? You really, follow a food plan, or abstain or whatever, do you guys really do this? And they were all, everybody in the meeting said yes. And so that helped me believe. I couldn't do it without the other people in this program, because I was pretty unruly before, and now I'm learning different rules and living by different rules that help me live productively. So that's all I have to say. I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Rob H. And our last share for today will be, is it Janet H.? Janet, press star one.
Oops, sir. Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. And it is Janet H., yes.
Okay. Where are you from, Janet?
Oh, sorry. I'm recovered in California.
Okay. Thank you.
So this is my first time sharing on vision. And I just finished reworking my steps using the big book. And I'm really excited to share my recovery. So, the things that stood out to me in this paragraph were first that sentence about brotherhood of man, grim jest. I think I also came in 12-step recovery feeling like a victim. And, I had a family where there was child abuse. I didn't feel like the world place. So, I had a pretty grim view of God. And then, the idea, if there was a devil, it seemed boss universal, and he certainly had me. So, that was my disease. So what I have learned in the long period of recovery is that my disease, lives in my ego, and that is where this, grim devil stuff lives, and that in recovery, I'm learning to connect with my godly soul instead of being run by my animal soul, and they both exist in me. and my disease is run more by my fear and my instincts and my ego. And learning to connect with my highest self and God, it's on a different plane. It's on a totally different plane. And, I did grow up in religion, but it was more ritual-based and not about a personal relationship with God. And,
I'm going to have to stop you. I only had 2 minutes for you. I forgot to
tell
you.
Oh, sorry about that. I missed it. Okay. No problem.
I didn't tell you. No, you didn't miss it. I didn't.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry to cut it short. I'm supposed to stop at the 48 hour. Okay. So thank you all for your shares. And we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164. followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will now ask Dawn B. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Mo. Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. And we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.